Revelation chapter 1. I've caught my breath now. I'm ready. And verse 18, a message I have entitled, Alive Forevermore. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. Please stand with me out of honor to God and His word as I read. This is Jesus speaking. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Thank you. May be seated. You know, it's fun on Easter when we kind of have this interactive where I say, you know, well, I'll go ahead and do it. He is risen. Yeah, you get back. Well, there was a pastor. He wanted an interactive worship experience with his congregation. So he was actually training his congregation to say, and also with you. After he prompted them with, like, peace be unto you, and then they would say, and also with you. Or he would prompt them with joy be unto you, and they would say, and also with you. Or he would prompt them with grace be unto you, and they would say, and also unto you. Or and also with you, excuse me. So it was Easter Sunday. And the pastor was excited to include this new element in the service of this interaction. However, just before he was to prompt the congregation, he had a problem with his microphone. And he said, you know, there's something wrong with this microphone. And the congregation replied, and also with you. Let's look this morning at alive forevermore. The first thing I want you to see is that Jesus died. He says so here. He said, I was dead. Jesus died. He died for us, becoming the once for all sacrifice. As he died on that cross, he shouted, it is finished. Nothing more need be done. Indeed, nothing more could be done. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. In fact, he died on the cross to pay for the sins of all who would ever believe, all people of all times who would ever put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay for all of those sins. Because blood and death have always been the price of sin. Blood and death have always been the price of sin. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and of course they tried to cover their sin, and they got some fig leaves and so on. But what did God do? God brought them animal skins. Now, did he just happen to have those animal skins hanging in his closet? No. He had to go sacrifice animals to cover the results of Adam and Eve's sin. And in order to get skins from animals, you have blood and death. From the very beginning, we see that blood and death has always been the price to pay for sin. And then after that, the Old Testament sacrificial system starts up. And of course, it required the shed blood of animals over and over and over to cover sin, because blood and death is always the price of sin. And we get to the New Testament, where we see Jesus shed his blood unto death to pay for our sins. You see, your sins and mine put Jesus on the cross and in the tomb. But it was his love for us that kept him on the cross. No nails kept him on the cross. No soldier kept him on the cross. His love for you and me, that's what kept him on the cross. And his power over death could not keep him in the tomb. You know why? He is risen. And I want you to know that Jesus really died. Now, this is what crucifixion is for, killing people. He really died. And no one ever survived crucifixion. No one in the history of crucifixion, nobody ever survived crucifixion. In fact, even Jesus didn't survive crucifixion. He defeated it. He is risen. Jesus didn't swoon. Jesus didn't faint. As some people read the Easter story, they say, well, actually what happened, Jesus lost a lot of blood up there on the cross, and he got kind of lightheaded, and he passed out. And then when they took him down off the cross and they put him in that nice, damp, cold, wet tomb, well, he kind of came back to life. No! He didn't swoon, he didn't faint. He died. Here's some evidence I want to give you that he died. First of all, he said he would. He said he would. Like in Matthew 17, 23, and Mark 8, 31, and Luke 9, 22, he said he would die. And he said he did. Again, verse 18, I just read it here. He said, I was dead. The Bible says he died. Oh, I'm way behind. The Bible says he died. Like in Matthew 27, 50, Mark 15, 37, Luke 23, 46, John 19, 30, says he died. And the Roman guards testified that Jesus died too. You see, a lot of people think in crucifixion somebody dies because they bleed to death. That's not the case at all. The reason somebody dies at crucifixion, they can't breathe. It's kind of like trying to play He Lives as fast as Ken's arm can go, and you can't breathe. But that's why you die of crucifixion. You cannot get your air. And people wanted to live, even though they knew they were going to die, while they're being crucified. And here's what they would do. They had a nail in their feet. And they would push up on that nail to lift up their chest so they could breathe in one or two more gasps of air. But if you wanted people to die quickly from crucifixion, you break their legs. And once their legs are broken, they can't push up anymore. They can't get any air. They die quickly. Well, these Roman guards who had seen hundreds, if not thousands of crucifixions, they came to break Jesus' legs. And guess what? They said, "He's dead." And so some evidence that Jesus died, he said he would. He said he did. The Bible says he did. And the Roman guards testified by not breaking his legs. In fact, Jesus experienced the whole scope of humanity, of being human. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4:15 says this. He says, "For we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." And so the Hebrews writer says, you know what? Jesus is a high priest and he knows what it's like to be human. And he does. He experienced birth. We celebrate that at Christmas time. He experienced life. He lived to be 30-some years old. He experienced death. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus on that cross, it is when your sins and mine were placed upon him that he died. He had no sins of his own. And had God not placed our sins on him, he'd still be hanging there. He'd still be alive. But the wages of sin is death. And Jesus experienced death. And he also experienced resurrection. Now, resurrection isn't just something for Jesus. Everybody's going to be resurrected. Look what Jesus taught here in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 28. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." Everybody who's ever lived will be resurrected. And so Jesus experienced the whole scope of being human: birth, life, death, resurrection. I like resurrection because you can do this. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Some of you were drifting off. Got to keep you on your toes. So Jesus died. But secondly, I want you to see that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Now, there's some evidence that he's alive. First of all, he said so. Look here in verse 18 again. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive." And so he said so. But the Bible also says so. I talked about this last week concerning Palm Sunday, but when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of the things that Jesus said, some of the things that Jesus did, they're not recorded in all the Gospels. But Palm Sunday is in all four, and the resurrection, the Easter story, is in all four. And so Jesus not only said so, the Bible says so, others said so that he is alive, like Mary that he met there in the garden, or those guys on the road to Emmaus, or the disciples later that Easter night. Or 1 Corinthians 15 tells us Jesus appeared to 500 others all at once. They say so. And this next one might not carry much weight with you, but I say so. I say so. You say, well, you're the pastor and you've been to seminary, and so I guess we should believe you. No, that's not what I mean. I say so that Jesus is alive because he changed my life. Dead people don't change anybody. Dead people don't change anything. But Jesus isn't dead. He's alive, and he changed my life forever. He is risen.
He is risen.
And I enjoy a daily walk with Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, as my friend. Not a weekly walk, and it's not a walk with some dead guy. I have a daily relationship, a daily walk with the living Jesus Christ. One more piece of evidence that Jesus is alive. He's coming back. He's coming back. Now, let me tell you this. You can't come back if you don't leave first, right? So if Jesus was still here on this earth, if he's dead in a grave somewhere, he ain't coming back because he never left. we know he's coming back because he's alive. He's alive. In fact, he's not just alive. Notice what he says here. He's alive forevermore. He's alive forevermore. He is risen. Wow, y'all are getting weak. He's alive forevermore. He's alive never to die again. And then I love this. Look what he says back to verse 18. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now, amen can mean I agree or so be it. But how do we use amen? That's the end of the sentence. That's the end of the discussion. This is the way it is. Amen. What did Randy Travis say, that old country singer? I love you forever and ever. Amen. Nobody else? To the end of time. Amen. Well, what did Jesus say? I'm alive forevermore. Amen. End of story. Not going to die again. His once for all death and resurrection secured eternal life for each and every one of us. Nothing more is required from him. Nothing more is required from us. Sin has been dealt with completely for all who believe. So the ramifications of that are these. He did what he said he would do. He is who he said he was. He's coming back as he said he would. So Jesus died. He didn't fake it. He didn't phone it in. He died. But he is alive forevermore. And notice one more thing from verse 18. He has the keys. Did you see that? He says, amen, I have the keys of hell and death. Jesus has the keys to hell or Hades and death, acquired by his resurrection from the dead, because he is risen. Jesus defeated death personally, and Jesus defeated death permanently. But what does he mean? I got the keys. Well, keys show authority, and keys show power. You might have heard of mayors that give people a key to the city. If somebody's really important or somebody, maybe a hometown boy or girl made it big or whatever, and they give them a key to the city, what's the history of that? Well, cities used to be walled and gated for protection. And so a literal key locked and unlocked the gates. Having the key meant the holder was free to come and go as he pleased. Whoever had the key had the authority to open. Whoever had the key had the authority to close. Jesus has the keys. I remember back in junior high and high school, who impressed me the most? Not the principal, not my teachers. You know who impressed me the most in junior high and high school? The janitor. When that janitor would walk down the hall with those keys hidden on the side, I would look out the classroom door and I would say, that man is awesome. He can open any door. He can open any locker. He could go in the girls' room if he wanted to. He could go in the faculty lounge if he wanted to. He can go anywhere. He's got the keys. He's got the power. And so, as a kid, I thought, I want that kind of power. So I started collecting keys. And I even got one of these things, like he has there, you put on your belt with the little chain that goes out. And I filled it up with keys. Dad gave me keys. Mom gave me keys. Here's the problem. They didn't go to anything. They didn't work. They didn't open or close anything. I had the keys. I had no power. Jesus has the keys. He has the power. He has the authority. He can open. He can close. What's he going to do with the keys? Jesus will unlock death for us at his return. For he has authority over death, having defeated it, he is risen. Sad, sad, sad. And we will be alive forevermore with him. When he comes back, he got the keys. And he unlocks death for us. We will be alive forevermore with him. Paul puts it like this. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, so to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He will unlock death with his key, and we will live forevermore with him. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing that great hymn, Because He Lives. Listen to verse 3. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He lives. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus died. For real. He died. But He's alive. And He's alive forevermore. And He has the keys. And He will unlock death. And those who put their faith and trust in Him will live with Him forever and ever and ever in the kingdom of heaven. But you could be here today celebrating Easter, saying He is risen indeed, and singing all these great Easter hymns. But maybe you don't have Jesus in your heart. Please don't leave here today without receiving Christ as your personal Savior. It's nothing I can do for you. It's nothing the church can do for you. Nothing the musicians can do for you. This is between you and God, one-on-one. We urge you. We invite you. Invite Jesus Christ in your heart. Believe that He died on the cross for your sins. Believe that He was buried for your sins. Believe that He rose again the third day for you. And when you believe and receive, He will come into your heart. He will take your sins away. You can look forward to the day when He comes with the keys and He unlocks death. And you will live with Him and the rest of us forevermore.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Ken?